ॐ आज्ञान चमरंदस्यागनंजनसलाकाय चातुर्मलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायां ददाति स्वापदातिकां वन्देहं शीघ्रं श्रीयुतापरकमलं शीघ्रं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहागनाराघनतं विदन्तं सजीवं सार्वैकं सवधूतं वृजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहागना ललिता शिवसकन्दिनं च हे कृष्णा कर्णसिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगते गोपेश गोपिकाकन्द राधाकन्द नमोऽस्तुते सप्तकंशन गौरांगी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते वंशकापद्रुव्यश्चात्रिपद्युभ्येश्च फलितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द जयवृन्दगौर श्रीवासुदेव गौरवासुवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 78. Killing of Dandavakra and Ramaharsha, text number 17. Shudva, Yudha, Ujjamam, Rama, Kurunam, Saha, Tanda, Vai, Tirda, Abhisheka, Vyajena, Madhya,
Madhya,
Sa, Praya, Iva, Shudva Yoda, Udyamam, Rama, Guru Nam Saha Pandavai, Hirda Abhisheka Vyajena, Madhyastha Pranaya Khila Shubhayo Yudho Yamam Rama
Shubhayo Rama
Guru Namsaha Pandavai
Guru Namsaha Pandavai
Hirda Vikshekha Vyajena Madhyastha Pranaya Khila Shrutva, hearing, Yudha, for battle, Yudhyamam, the preparation, Rama, Lord Ram, Lord Balaram, Kurunam,
of the
Kurus, Saha, with Pandavai,
Pandavas,
Tirtha,
in
holy places,
Abhisheka,
abathing,
Vyajena,
on the pretext,
Madhyastha,
neutral,
Prayao,
he departed.
departed.
He departed.
He laughed
indeed.
Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
Lord Balaram had heard that the Kurus were preparing for war with the Pandavas. Being neutral, he departed on the pretext of going to bathe in holy places. Please repeat. Lord Balaram.
Lord Balaram.
Then heard that the Kurus were preparing for war with the Pandavas.
Being neutral,
he departed on the pretext of going to bathe in holy places.
So who can repeat?
Well, Duryodhana and Yudhishthira were dear to Lord Balaram, and so to avoid an awkward situation, he departed. Furthermore, after killing the demon Dhritarashtra, Lord Krishna put aside his weapons, but Lord Balaram still had to kill Ramaharsham and Balabala to finish relieving the earth of her burden of demons. Text 18. After bathing on Prabhasha and honoring the demigods, sages, forefathers, and prominent human beings, he went in the company of Brahmanas to the portion of Saraswati that flows westward into the sea. Lord Balaram visited the broad Bindusara Lake, Sri Takupa, Sudarshana, Vishala, Brahmatirtha, Chakratirtha, and the eastward flowing Saraswati. He also went to all the holy places along the Jamuna and the Ganges, Ovarta, and then he came to the Naimasha forest, where great sages were performing an elaborate sacrifice. Recognizing the Lord upon his arrival, the sages who had been engaged in their sacrificial rituals for a long time greeted him promptly by standing up, bowing down and worshipping him. After being thus worshipped along with his entourage, the Lord accepted the seat of honor. Then he noticed that Ramaharshan, Vyasadeva's disciple, had remained seated. Lord Balaram became extremely angry when seeing how this member of the Sutta caste had failed to stand up, bow down, or join his palms, and also how he was sitting above all the learned Brahmins. Purport. Ramaharshan had failed to greet Lord Balaram in any of the standard ways for welcoming his superior personality. Also, despite being a lower caste, he sat in the seat above the assembly of exalted Brahmins. Lord Balaram said, because this fool, born from an improperly mixed marriage, sits above all these Brahmanas, and even above me, the protector of religion, he deserves to die. Although he is a disciple of the divine sage Vyas, and has thoroughly learned many scriptures from him, including the law books of religious duties, and the epic histories and the Puranas, all this study has not produced good qualities in him. Rather, studying the scriptures is like an actor studying his part, for he is not self-controlled or humble, and vainly presumes himself a scholarly authority, although he has failed to conquer his own mind. Purport. One may argue that Ramaharshan committed an innocent mistake when he failed to recognize Lord Balaram, but such an argument is refuted here by Lord Balaram's strong criticism. The very purpose of my descent into this world is to kill such hypocrites who pretend to be religious. Indeed, they are the most sinful rascals. Lord Balaram was not prepared to overlook Ramaharshan's offense. The Lord had descended specifically to eliminate those who claim to be great religious leaders but do not even respect the Supreme Personality of God. Sukadeva Goswami continued, although Lord Balaram had stopped killing the impious Brahmaharshan's death was inevitable. Thus, having spoken, the Lord killed him by picking up a blade of kusha grass and touching him with its tip.
Purport.
Lord Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Balaram had avoided taking part in the battle of Kurukshetra, and yet because of his position, the re-establishment of religious principles was his prime duty. Considering these points, he killed Ramaharshan Sutta simply by striking him with a kusha straw, which was nothing but a blade of grass. If someone questions how Lord Balaram could kill Ramaharshan Sutta simply by striking him with a blade of kusha grass, the answer is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the use of the word Prabhu, Master. The Lord's position is always transcendental, and because he is omnipotent, he can act as he likes without being obliged to follow the material laws and principles. Thus it is possible for him to kill Ramaharshan Sutta simply by striking him with a blade of kusha grass. All the sages cried out, "Alas! Alas!" in great distress. They told Lord Sankarshan, "O Master, you have committed an irreligious act. O favor of the Yadus, we gave him the seat of the spiritual master and promised him long life and freedom from physical pain for as long as his sacrifice continues." Although Ramaharshan was not a Brahmin, having been born from mixed marriage, he was invested with the status by the assembled sages, and thus given the Brahmin sthana, the seat of the chief officiating priest. "You have unknowingly killed a Brahmana. Of course, even the injunction of revealed scriptures cannot dictate to you, the Lord of all mystic power. But if by your own free will, you will nevertheless carry out the prescribed purification for the slaying of a Brahmana, O purifier of the whole world, people in general greatly benefit by your example." The personality of God had said, "I will certainly perform the atonement for this killing, since I wish to show compassion to the people in general. Please therefore prescribe for me whatever ritual is to be done first. O sages, just say the word, and by my mystic power I shall restore everything you promised him, long life, strength, and sensory power." The sages said, "Please see to it, O Ram, that your power and that of your kusha weapon, as well as our promise and Ramaharshan's death, all remain intact." The Supreme Lord said, "The Vedas instruct us that one's own self takes birth again as one's son. Thus let Ramaharshan's son become the speaker of the Puranas, let him be endowed with long life, strong senses, and stamina." Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes the following verse to illustrate the principle enunciated here by Lord Balaram. "Angad angad sambhavasi Ridaya Avidaya Se Atma Vai Putranama Si Sanjiva Sharada Shitam." "You have taken birth from my various limbs and have arisen from my very heart. You are my own self and form of my son. May you live through 100 autumns." This verse appears in the Shatapada Brahmana and the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. "Please tell me of your desire, O best of the sages, and I shall certainly fulfill it. And O wise souls, please carefully determine my proper atonement, since I did not know what it might be." Purport. Lord Balaram here sets perfect example for people in general by humbly submitting himself before the qualified Brahmins. The sages said, "O a fearsome demon named Balava, son of Ilvala, comes here every new moon day and contaminates our sacrifice." First, the sages tell Balaram the favor they would like him to do for them. "O descendant of Dharharsha, Tusharha, please kill that sinful demon, pours down pus, blood, feces, urine, and wine and meat upon us. This is the best service he can do for us. Thereafter, for 12 months, you should circumambulate the land of Bharata in a mood of serious meditation. executing austerities and bathing in various holy pilgrimage sites. In this way you will become purified. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami points out the word Vishuddhi means that Lord Balaram would achieve spotless fame by setting such a perfect example for people in general. Prabhupada writes, the Brahmanas could understand the purpose of the Lord, and thus they suggested that they atone in matter which would be beneficial for them. This end about the purpose of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, 10th canto, 78th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Killing of Dandavakra, Vidurata, and Ramaharsha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Pudai Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasapundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatya Devatarne. Generally speaking, the 10th canto is simply meant for hearing, and therefore there is not generally elaborate commentaries on the 10th canto. By this time, we should be able to hear with rapt attention. And if one hears with rapt attention, one should actually be able to experience what's being explained in the Bhagavatam, what's being described. That in the previous cantos, practically speaking, is aimed at trying to teach us the process of hearing. That it is said that in the first canto, that no one can hear with rapt attention unless one's mind is completely controlled, as we've all seen. Mind has a tendency to wander, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, or as Arjuna said, asamsham ahavaho mano dur nigraham shalam adya sena sikundiya. Oh, actually, that's Arjuna Vasa, yoyam yoga svaya prota yoyam yoga svaya. Arjuna Vasa, yoyam yoga svaya prota samena madhusvinaha etasyahana pashami chanchalit vamsitin spiram. The system of yoga which you've described appears to me to be very difficult, practically unendurable, Arjuna says. Asamshayam mahavaho manur gurnirgraham chalam adya. It is very difficult. And to subdue it, because the mind is very flickering and unsteady. Chanchalam himana krishna pramati balavadrida tasyaham nigraham manye vayor eva siduskaram. For the mind is flickering and unsteady, and to subdue it, it seems to me to be more difficult than trying to control the wind. So as we see, the mind is always wandering over different topics, hoping that we find some topic of interest, something that would attract us. That's called shraddha. Sad means the heart, and da means where we put the heart. So according to what we think is going to make us happy, that's what we put our mind into. Of course, since we're absorbed in the Bali concept of life, our most immediate experience, generally speaking, is the senses. It is not that we have to look for engagement. We're already being engaged. Vasya vegam, manasa trota vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegam, yoga shaheti vira, sarvam abhimam prativim sashisha. According to Srila Rupa Goswami in his first verse, that one should control the sense of speaking, vasya vegam, manasa, and then the mind, because whatever we're speaking about, whatever we're hearing about, because if we speak, we also hear, then actually that's what we're going to think about. We have to control the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the forces of anger, the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals. That anyone who can do that, this just went off, can qualify to make disciples all over the world. So, the senses and the mind, they're always ready to engage us. They're always engaging us in different types of activities.
Unfortunately, there is no real benefit from serving the senses, at least unrestrictedly, for no better purpose than to serve them. One simply gets another opportunity to serve the senses. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says we have to learn how to, if we were going to hear the Bhagavatam with rapt attention, as a matter of fact, if we're going to hear anything with attention, it's not only the Bhagavatam, it's anything, we have to have some faith that if we learn the process of hearing, then that will actually be beneficial. Generally speaking, people are not really taught how to hear properly. People are just being encouraged to gratify their senses. If you go on the street of Melbourne and see the advertisements, there are no advertisements for becoming a sage and controlling your senses. 6-week course of becoming a sage. No, there's always attractive women, handsome men, eating, sleeping, and generally mating and defending. What is defending nowadays? Defending means to have a bank account and a credit card, an insurance policy, and a house. Practically speaking, defending has become the major occupation of the society, so that they can hopefully put some food in their mouth and live underneath the house and pay the mortgage. If someone can do that, then he's considered to be a great hero in society. He's very powerful. He can put food in his mouth, and he's putting food in the mouths of so many little ones and the wife. And they have a roof over their heads, therefore he's a great hero in society. He's learned how to defend himself against all obstacles. The only difference between him and Tarzan is that Tarzan had more hair. So the whole society is simply meant to encourage people to get more and more absorbed in animalistic life, and therefore they have no time to hear of anything but how other heroes like themselves have perfected the art of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Therefore, many times people are very much interested in the animals. Every society, they have a zoo, because the animals are generally better at eating, sleeping, mating, defending. If you go to the zoo and look at the reptiles, they're all quite relaxed. They're in perfect yoga positions. No worries at all. They're perfect posies. And not only that, but people have to go to school for 25 years to learn how to feed them. To work at a zoo, become expert, they have to go to college, to university, get their diploma, their PhD degree, so they can feed the snake or the of the lizard. And the lizard didn't have to go to school at all. It doesn't pay rent. The food's free. They're very anxious that he gets all the food, the right temperature. People working hard just to pay for the animals in the zoo. What to speak of the tigers, the lions, the giraffes, the elephants. Doesn't have to do anything. Just stand there and smile, and everyone grows. Therefore, people are envious of the animals. They're perfected the art of eating, sleeping, mating, defending without a 25-year education. But the Bhagavatam doesn't advise that, doesn't say that this is the perfection of life. To eat like a dog, a hog, to sleep like a bear, to defend oneself like a tiger, and to mate like a pigeon. This is not the perfection of life.
the hog acharya. Opens his mouth in the sewer, everything flows in, big smile on his face, food's free and plentiful, and usually hot. Fresh. Every day the food's flowing down fresh. Doesn't have to worry about putting it in the refrigerator or anything. And he can sleep anywhere. In the middle of the road, he doesn't care. He doesn't have to avoid the car. The cars don't want to get near any place near him. Kill their, destroy their tires. And in his own way, he defends. He may not be a karate expert, but most animals don't want to get near him. And maybe he can mate with anything. His mother, his father, his sister, his brother, anything. Even he may wink at you when you walk by. And no one will criticize, oh, this dirty hog. Why is he going to die? He's so fat. No hog in Vrindavan has ever gone on a diet. Nor does he need a psychiatrist or a psychologist to analyze his sex life. Nor is his diet analyzed. And he can sleep anytime. There's no need for an alarm clock. Wake up, you lazy hog. No one ever tells him. No, they're the given in the honor of being the sanitation department in Vrindavan. And they're happy in their work. The great karma yogis, they don't ask for anything else. So human life is not meant to become an animal. It's learned to control the mind by engaging in actual knowledge. Unfortunately, the Tevidu Swarthikadhimi Vishnu, people have no idea what knowledge is. They've created these universities all over the world, these huge, which are more or less temples of so-called learning. And they're actually temples of ignorance, of delusion. It's just like they ask, how do you know when the modern politicians, especially the presidents of the countries, are lying? Does anyone know? Let's see. Yes.
They're moving their mouths, right?
Yeah, they're moving their mouth. So they go to college, they go to universities for so many years, and when they come out, they're trained up as the greatest rogues in society, ready to exploit anything that moves. Because they don't know even the most basic knowledge, the difference between matter and spirit. That we ourselves are spirit, we're souls, we're a different nature, and the body is made out of matter. And the demands of the body, the goals of the body, to gratify the senses, will do little to help us achieve our real purpose of life. But because people don't know who they are, and therefore because they falsely identify themselves with their body, they're misdirected and working hard, but actually not achieving anything of value. It is not that they're not sincere trying to find something of value, but they've been misdirected. Andaya tandera pigiyamana pepitra tantra uru dhamibara. They've been misdirected by persons who are blind like they are. The so-called leaders of modern society, they have no idea that they're not their body either, nor are they their mind, nor are they their senses. They're actually different from all of this. And that there is a goal called liberation to get out of the bodily concept of life. They're thinking, our problem is that we're not enough in the bodily concept of life. We have to get people more involved in the bodily concept of life. They don't know the goal of life is to get out of the bodily concept of life, but not into a nothing concept of life, but into a spiritual concept of life, where we ourselves have a spiritual identity and spiritual activities.
And therefore, the Bhagavatam is the only real education practice speaking mind of society. Because it explains systematically how we can learn how to hear, first of all, in the first canto, hear about reality. What's the proper thing to hear about, and how to hear. It says we should hear with attention. But no one can hear with attention unless their mind is controlled, and no one's mind can be controlled unless their activities, their senses are controlled. And no one's senses can be controlled unless they're factually engaged in the activities of devotional service. And unless they're following Krishna's directions. At least, unless they're regulated. People don't even know that they're supposed to regulate their senses. They're not encouraged, usually, to regulate their senses. Maybe the doctor, as they say, something like, you know, don't smoke cigarettes. The doctor in his office, he's puffing away on cigarettes, telling his patients, it's probably not a good idea. And sometimes we hear other things, that don't eat meat, or other things. There may be some advice given to people, be friendly to all human beings or something, or save the whales or something, the penguins. But as far as who we actually are and how to utilize this present body and mind to realize that, who's interested in that? People don't think there's any value in realizing the soul. Oh, the soul is so tiny, who cares about it anyhow? But if we realize that we're supposed to realize the soul, then we'll find out that without realizing Krishna, we can't realize ourselves. In the darkness of night, there's no question of realizing, seeing anything else clearly. You may take a candle and try to see everything, but in the absence of the sun, there will remain great amount of darkness. Similarly, in the absence of realizing Krishna, neither we can see ourselves clearly or truly or perfectly, nor we can see anyone else truly and perfectly or clearly or anything else. And therefore, we're living in the imaginations caused by our previous activities. That's called karma. And under the karma, the material nature is encouraging us. Don't take this so seriously, this Krishna consciousness. You know, it's all it can do is give you eternal, blissful life. Full of knowledge, it's not very important. There's so many important things to do. You have so many important things to do. Don't worry about these insignificant things. You have money to make and things to see. And when you get old and worn out and you can't do anything, then, you know, worry about bliss, knowledge, eternally. When you can't do anything else, then go for this less significant thing. So Maya has convinced us that why waste your time realizing spiritual life? There's so many nice things to see on the internet. There's so many movies. There's so many people to meet and things to see. Why waste your time? So one has to hear about what is the actual purpose of life and who we really are. And we have to hear it repeatedly because as soon as we hear about it, or as soon as we attempt to hear about it, Maya will say, don't hear too carefully. You're going to get caught. You're going to take it seriously and your material life is going to be ruined. Your hair will fall out. You'll be permanently in bedrobes and bed sheets. People will laugh at you. You'll have no more prestige. They'll ask you to surrender everything. God's going to take control of you. You won't have any independence anymore. You won't be able to, you know, do what you want. The boss is going to tell you what to do. But we have to become convinced that actually, if we don't surrender to Krishna, then this body and this mind, which has nothing to do with ourselves or our interest in life, is every moment already telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, how much to do it. We're completely under the control of the illusory energy at every second, and the illusory energy is not bringing us back to the spiritual world. It's bringing us to another body to do the same thing. Punas punas charvanana. Promising that this time it's going to be different. But here, gradually by learning how to hear, so we can sit and actually hear about Krishna, and then understand what's being said, because we haven't really heard anything unless we've understood it. Unless we can actually repeat it, then there's no question of analyzing. If I hear something, and then the next moment we ask someone, what did I say? I can't remember anything. If I can't remember it, what have I understood? If I can't remember something, then how can I understand something? Just like we're talking about love of God. But unless we're aware of Krishna, then where is there the question of love for Him? We criticize other people. Oh, you don't know who God is. So you don't know what He looks like, you don't know where He lives, you don't know what He's doing, you don't know anything about Him. How can you love Him? That's part of our criticism. You can't love someone that you're not aware of. If you say, I'm madly in love with this woman or this man, but I don't know what he or she looks like, I don't know what their names are, I don't know what they do, I don't know where they live, I don't know anything about them, but somehow or another I've fallen madly in love with them. So is that possible? Of course it's impossible. So when people talk about, oh, in America people are so pious, they're God conscious, they go to church. For what? To praise of the great unknown. For more material life, better material life. The stocks will go up. The money will go, the value of the dollar will go up. Everything will be nice. But there's no question of love of God. Similarly, unless we become conscious of Krishna, then how can we say we love Krishna? If our minds, sometimes we think about Krishna for 15 minutes and the mind says, why are you wasting your time thinking about this Krishna? You're going to spoil your life. You're not going to be able to, you know, you're going to miss the sale on the internet. Stop. You're concentrating too much. You're going to have a heart attack. You'll get a headache. Relax. So, unless we can hear in such a way that we remember, and if we can't remember Krishna's form, at least we have to remember His instructions. How to learn how to remember His form. If we can't remember His form, at least we have to learn the process so we can remember His form. And if we can't remember the process, we aren't interested in hearing the process, we think, oh, that's too much. Just let me hear about Krishna's form and His pastime. Why should I waste my time going through this dull philosophy? I was never a philosopher. I didn't join this movement for philosophy. I joined it for the prasadam. And if you can give me a place to sleep after prasadam, my life is perfect. On my left side of it. I learned philosophy. You sleep on your left slot side. That's as much philosophy as I need. Let's not get too technical. And to make the prasadam taste better, schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. No, we have to learn, if we have to hear about the process of how to hear, then if we do that, we can learn how to hear, how our minds become more steady, that we actually learn the process by which we can actually hear what's being said, and therefore learn the process of seeing Krishna within His creations. Seeing Krishna within His creations, and the background has to be the consciousness that everything here actually belongs to Krishna. So that's a very hard thing for us to accept. It's alright, there may be a God, He's somewhere, who knows where He is. He may even be in my heart, but He doesn't talk to me very much, so I guess... If he is, he has a very low voice. They can't hardly hear him. But the idea he owns everything here, even my body. Oh, God, this is too much. Even my pencil. He's so greedy. I can't even use his pencil for his service. Everything is his. So this is not a very easy conception. I have nothing to gain here. I can't gain anything. Then as soon as I get something, it's still his. And even the things I lost, they never belong to me. They're going to tell me I'm even wrong to lament. First they tell me I shouldn't hanker. All right, I don't want to hanker. But lamenting, come on, it's bona fide. I should feel bad for losing something. So as long as we want to identify ourselves as the proprietors of this world, as long as we're interested in getting something more, then the result is we're going to have to suffer a hankering lamentation. Oh, if only I could get this. Oh, too bad I didn't get it. Or I got it. Oh, I don't want this anymore. Could you take it? How to get rid of it? And Śrīla Prabhupāda said to his servant, one day, Śrīla Kīrti Prabhu, who was serving Prabhupāda for a long time, and suddenly got married. He went to Prabhupāda and lamented. He said, "Oh, Prabhupāda, I'm so unhappy now I got married. Now I can't serve you anymore." So Prabhupada said, "Well, this is like before the feast. You think, oh, I can't wait for the feast. And then I'll be happy when there's a nice prasadam and I'll, you know, finally I'll be satisfied. And then after the feast, you go, oh, I hate it too much. If only there wasn't a feast, I wouldn't be suffering so much." Therefore, the conclusion is, we have to accept that everything here actually is Krishna's. I have nothing to gain here. There's no upward mobility in Krishna consciousness, material upward mobility. The real criteria of success is to accept reality, that everything is Krishna's. And therefore, whatever I'm doing, I should do for Krishna, under the direction of his representatives. I should find out what Krishna wants me to do, and then I should do it to please him. And then the result is that I'll become conscious of him. That's more or less the summary of the knowledge, and then when we sit down to hear about Krishna, we'll take it seriously. We'll understand that this is something that I should be thinking about. This is something when I'm actually performing my activities in the knowledge that everything belongs to Krishna, when I'm doing my activities to please Krishna, then these are the things I'm going to think about. Lord Balaram coming to the place of pilgrimage at Naimisharanya and seeing Ramaharshan sitting on his seat, Ramaharshan Sutta, and disregarding Lord Balaram. Because he himself is so-called learned, but he didn't accept God himself when he was first in front of him. Which is the whole purpose of education. That all these so-called educated scholars, they don't even have any Vedic knowledge. What to speak of any ordinary knowledge. They're proud of their knowledge, but Krishna said, "Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudaya pravam yugra karmana shaye jagato hita." Following such conclusions, atheistic conclusions, and lost to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial work meant to destroy the world. So we don't decry the scientists, we don't decry the engineers or the doctors for what they're able to do, which is beneficial. But so much of what's going on in modern society is contaminating the water, contaminating the air, contaminating the food, making people anxious and restless, full of anxiety, having improper goals of life, improper relationships. It's misdirected society. In the name of so-called education and advancement, it's actually causing people to go away from real knowledge and real advancement. Therefore, one should understand what is real knowledge and therefore take shelter of that real knowledge, not be misled by so-called knowledge. Although, Prabhupada said, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchite. Many things can be utilized in Krishna's service, but that also takes some knowledge. And that knowledge is how to utilize things to help me remember Krishna and to help others become Krishna conscious too. So cars, computers, and many things are accepted in Krishna's service, but with the idea of helping people become Krishna conscious, not simply for the sake of impressing people how wonderful we are, that we become so advanced by Krishna consciousness that we don't even need Krishna anymore. So with Krishna as the proprietor of everything, as Krishna as the enjoyer of everything, as the aim is to help people understand these basic things, we can utilize Krishna's energy in Krishna's service, and the test will be that we realize Krishna, when we see Krishna in front of us in so many different forms, we don't forget him. Otherwise, we'll wind up like Rama Harishan Sutta. We may have so much knowledge, but if we don't respect the Supreme Personality of God and his representatives, there's a lot of kusha grass in the world to go around. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
It's a bit surprising to see that Maharshala, he had knowledge, bhakti related knowledge, but yet he was not a devotee. How can I consider this?
Rama Harishan Sutta. Well, here it actually says Rama Harishan Sutta. For some reason, maybe it's wrong. Oh, maybe, yeah, I guess it's Rama Harishan, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Ram Harishan. Okay. So he has so much bhakti knowledge?
Yeah, he has bhakti knowledge.
Well, maybe not. Obviously, he didn't have any bhakti knowledge. I mean, someone just walks by the temple, they hear that Krishna is God. He obviously didn't walk by our temple. So he had a lot of knowledge, but even if he had it theoretically, doesn't mean we have this knowledge, it doesn't mean we accept it. Just by hearing from others, and you can memorize it, it doesn't mean we've accepted it, even when you can repeat it. Krishna's God, you know, but I'm also. Therefore, he may even recognize, oh, here comes Balaram, he's an expansion of Krishna, and he's supposed to be God, he's Vasudeva, etc. But, you know, him and I were practically the same. So obviously he didn't have sufficient knowledge about bhakti, even to fold his hands together. So I got to fold my hands together, do that all the time. Forget it. I don't do any yoga exercises anymore. So he didn't have sufficient knowledge even to fold his hands together. So actually he was a fool. Yes.
If he was a hypocrite, why Vyasadeva accepted him as a disciple, and even by taking initiation from Vyasadeva, how he did not transform into a full devotee?
Well, because we have our free will. How did Madhavendra Puri accept Ramachandra Puri as his disciple? You get some good disciples, some bad disciples. Pick out, you get a bunch of apples, some of them are good and some of them are bad. What can you do? Stop eating apples? You know, I ate an apple, it was a worm in it, I give up apples forever. So you do the best you can. After all, a disciple usually doesn't mean at the beginning they're fully self-realized. I only accept fully self-realized disciples. So you accept, you know, someone in the rough, he tried to make him into a diamond. So he became quite shiny, Ramaharshan. He just didn't realize who Krishna was, that's all. Few details he left out. Anything else? Yes.
How can you give up a personal opinion speaking about saying that God is like Krishna and God for me and this is how he thinks and that everything belongs to Krishna, but often he has a tendency to go to our enemy to kind of play with us and don't really pay too much attention that actually Krishna is a person, that actually means first and first to the lady and with the presence of Krishna as a person, how can he give up this person personally and all that?
Serve Krishna and his representatives. And when Krishna sees we're trying to give it up, first of all, the first process is hear that Krishna is a person, hear that we're a person, become convinced, at least theoretically, and then when we're doing our service, try to do it to please Krishna with that attitude. And when Maya says, you know, he's not a person, just don't listen. How do we become convinced that Krishna wasn't a person? Because we associate with so many impersonalists. So we have to associate with the personalists, hear from them, follow their instructions, and then we'll become a personalist. Well, Krishna will reveal himself to us. This problem once wrote to me, if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. So if we do follow the process and Krishna reveals himself to us, then we'll realize he's a person. So he writes you a letter and says, hi, how are you doing? And you realize he's communicating. He must be there. Yes? Well, Balaram taught Duryodhana how to use the club before he insulted Draupadi. It was when they were still practically in the Vrindavan pastimes, or a little bit after the Vrindavan pastimes. It wasn't at the very end that he taught Duryodhana the club. That was way afterwards. But why? Because that's part of Balaram's pastimes. If Balaram said, well, I know everything past, present, future, then he probably, there wouldn't be much fun, would there, with Krishna's pastimes. He said, Duryodhana, I don't want to have anything to do with you because in around 30 years, you're going to be killed by one of the Pandavas anyhow. So, why should I bother teaching you anything? No, it's part of the pastime, so. When Krishna has his human life pastimes and Balaram has the human life pastimes, therefore many things they seemingly don't know. Otherwise it wouldn't be much fun in the pastime. When Arjuna comes as a sannyasi on Krishna's behalf to steal, kidnap Subhadra, he comes as a guest of Balaram's. So Balaram says, well, I'm God, I'm in your heart, I'm my expansion is in Arjuna's heart. This rascal is trying to fool me as a sannyasi. Then it would be much pastime. Balaram knows everything. No. So he gets fooled also. So these are Balaram's human life pastimes. When Mother Jasoda comes to bind Krishna with a rope, I mean, there's some mystic pastime there. Or with a stick, Krishna doesn't say, go ahead, hit me. I've been through this a lot. I'll just make your stick disappear. what would be the relationship? Now, so Krishna plays the part of a little child, and he thinks he's a little child. Not that, go ahead, show me the stick, I'll cry a little bit, make you happy. He actually feels like a little child. So how he does it? Well, if you were God, you know how to do it too. So it may be a little difficult for us, but maybe he'll tell us one day. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantarai Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Por Premanande.